Filmmaker Spike Lee's latest movie, Miracle at St. Anna, opened over the weekend. It took in a modest $3.5 million. It's a story about four members of the all-black 92nd Buffalo Soldier Division. They're fighting the Nazis, and they get trapped behind enemy lines in Italy during World War II.
You, come here.
Gather the rest, whoever will come, and we'll take them down the mountain.
Would you not come with you?
Why not?
Nazis in all villages.
Yeah. Boom, boom. You just sit tight and it'll be jingle bells real soon. The U.S. Army is sitting right here in front of you.
We need army inside house now. 3 years we've been waiting. First the British, then the Americans. Italy is tired to wait.
On Friday, we featured some of the stars of the film plus its writer. Now we have NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates, who got the chance to sit down with Spike Lee. This has been a project of the heart for him. His mission started with the men of the 92nd Buffalo Soldier Division.
15,000 African-American men stationed in Italy. They fought in the army that was segregated. Many of their commanding officers were from the South. That was a policy of the army. They felt that somehow that white Southerners could control Negroes better than the white officers from the North. That was a recipe for disaster. That did not work out at all.
At one point in the film, one of the generals says,
General Allman, real person.
Says, this is Mrs. Roosevelt's little experiment, and we're going to have to live with it, which indicated to me that there was a fair amount of resentment at having to even deal with the idea of black combatants.
Yes, it's a known fact that it was the First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, getting on her husband's case day after day, FDR. So he finally, probably to get some peace of mind, said, okay, I'll let them fight. Because they weren't allowed to fight at first. It was just, you could cook, you could clean, you could do the menial stuff, but they did not feel they had really the guts to fight, that when the bullets started flying, that the black soldiers would just drop and run.
Were they also worried about black soldiers with guns?
Well, that was the case really in the States. Many towns had objections to these black bases with these men armed.
Yet you have these men who get separated from their general unit in the hills of Tuscany.
Right. Behind Nazi lines.
Behind enemy lines. They show up in, I mean, as I was looking at the film, I kept saying, you know, in some ways, this is the Italian equivalent of Appalachia. You know, they're living up in these tiny, isolated little hamlets where everybody knows everybody else, or they're related to everybody else in some kind of tangential way. They've got, you know, feuds and connections that go back several generations. And they've mostly seen their own people all this time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here come these brothers.
They've never seen a black person before, ever. But they saw these men as their liberators. They've been waiting for the United States Army. First, they were waiting for the British, and the Americans came. So this is true. While we were shooting Tuscany, several times elderly Italians told me about their fond memories as children seeing the Buffalo Soldiers, the black soldiers.
What did they remember about them?
Well, one lady told me that she's alive today because of Buffalo Soldiers. She had just been born, a month or two old. She was dying, some illness. Her mother took her to the black camp. The black doctors gave her shots, probably penicillin, and she lived. And she told me the story, tears running in her eyes, and she just grabbed me and hugged me. She said, I'm alive because of the Buffalo Soldiers.
So they had more than one job while they were there. And it seems that they were acutely conscious of that they weren't just soldiers, that they had this larger responsibility that white soldiers, to a certain degree, didn't have.
And also many of them felt, as one of Derek Luke's characters says in the film, that for the first time they felt free. And they, in reflection, saying that it's a shame for the first time to feel free in a foreign country and not in their own home, their native land.
At one point, they were having an argument about whether they should stay, whether they should go, whether this was, you know, going to lead to certain disaster. And Staff Sergeant Aubrey Stamps says, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for my kids, for my kids' kids. Mm-hmm. This is our country, too.
Progress.
This is progress. This is progress. We have to make progress. What did he mean by that?
Well, it's something that all African-Americans have felt. I think it was felt when Crispus Attucks was killed by the British in the Boston Massacre. He was the first person to die in the war for the United States of America, a black man. We felt that in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, even today in Iraq and Afghanistan. I find it amusing when people question the patriotism of African Americans. It's so easy to be a patriot when you're receiving the full rights and benefits of a citizen. It's much more to be a patriot when you're being lynched, to live in the apartheid or Jim Crow segregation, denied your rights as a human being. And despite that, again and again and again, African Americans have taken up the mantle and fought and died for this country. And as you said before, stamps talk about promise. Well, we're about to see that promise finally. November 4th, this country is going to vote for the 44th President of the United States of America. The promise that stamps talked about, I think we're getting to that point, because this thing is going to happen. And that is, for me, concrete evidence that this country has made a seismic move as far as race relations go that we've yet to see. That a black man, someone whose father was born in Kenya, is going to be the commander-in-chief.
He certainly will be if he's elected.
He's going to win.
Okay. If he wins, does
I'm
fact...
Sorry, whoa. You could say if.
Well, I have to. I'm a reporter.
Okay, but I'm not a reporter, and I can't let people ask me, so what happens if he... I don't think like that. The man... We're going to be delivered on November 4th. I'm speaking for myself.
Let's look at it from your perspective then. He gets elected on November 4th. Is part of why he gets elected this service that the real-life Aubrey Stamps have done, this down payment that they've made in order to get to this point?
It's not just him. We could go on. Harry Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Shirley Chisholm, W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Malcolm, Dr. King, JFK, So everything that's happened, he's been able to, he's on their shoulders, I feel.
This is, in a way, this film, a big public thank you to people who didn't get thanked enough.
We filmed a supplement for the DVD recently of Miracle St. Anna. We had a round table with several Buffalo soldiers. These men now in their later ages, very graceful, dignified men. And one gentleman, I can't recall his name, he said, I put my life in line for this country. And I was hoping and praying that this would hopefully prove to white America that we were worthy and we belong and we're Americans. The war is over. His ship left from England, and it docked, I think, Newport News or Hampton, wherever the naval base there. And they pulled up to the thing. And before they could set their feet on American soil, walking down a plank, at the end of the plank, you had a sign, colored troops to the left, white troops to the right. And he said he almost broke down and cried right there. So these men, they're right, they should be given their due. These are American heroes, the American patriots, and if this film could be in a small way to illuminate these great Americans, and then we're happy for that.
Well, this is certainly a compliment to all the rest of it. This definitely fills in some of the missing gaps. When little kids my age, used to come home and go, well, where are all the black soldiers in the war? Because we didn't see them in the history books. This is something that they will see. And I wish you good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
That was filmmaker and director Spike Lee talking about his new film, Miracle at St. Anna, with NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates. You can watch his full interview plus our conversation with the cast of the film at our website, nprnewsandviews.org.